B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's some buzz out there, and I can't figure out what the buzz means, but the buzz that I'm hearing is like the smoke indicating that something is happening. I'm not sure what's up, but I don't think it's a lock that Gordon Hayward is on the Celtics next year. Whether that involves him opting out or whether that involves him opting in and Boston trading him, I don't know what is going to happen. The simplest solution remains that he opts in and Boston really likes Gordon Hayward. They think he's a really important part of their team and says, hey, you opted in. We're keeping you. We don't want to trade you for player X, Y, and Z that we can go through now. That's still the simplest route. But something is mildly afoot here.
Zach Lowe and his podcast on Gordon Hayward potentially opting out of the Celtics to get out. Not opting out to re-sign. So what do we know about this? What are our thoughts on this? We want to defer to Stu's phone real quick, Stu?
Yes, absolutely.
What are you hearing?
This is my theory, and it's just a theory. It's not from my phone. It's something I came up with surprisingly on my own. Mm. I think for Gordon Hayward to miss the birth of his fourth child and go back into the bubble, he agreed to opt out of the Celtics and go to Indiana, where I believe they bought a home recently. He and Robin bought a home.
Yeah, $3 million home.
You're saying that was the deal with Robin?
That's what I think the deal was because, again, just my opinion, she didn't want to come to Boston. She wanted Miami. Gordon wanted Boston with the coach. He's now the fourth option here. He's made some money. He can go to the Pacers or the home in Indiana, and he's out of here. And home life is better.
Hmm. Mass?
I think I accept any theory as being sound, and I think Hayward's at a crossroads. So they're at a point here where they got to figure out what the hell they're going to do. And I told the Celtics and Hayward, both. Because I think I told you I saw a story that said Hayward's option is actually based on a percentage of league revenue versus a raw hard number in terms of the 34 million or 32 point, whatever it is, you know, that he's supposed to get next year. So the number might be less next year anyway. It might behoove him to opt out, get a long-term deal at, say, 20 million per for 3 years, and he comes out of it with more money. And if that's the case, there are probably a limited number of places he can go, especially if he wants to play for a contender, and it might behoove the Celtics to do a sign and trade instead. And so I absolutely think that it's in play. I don't think there's any question.
I don't get why people are freaked out about it. I get the part where it's obviously not a good look that your only other splash in free agency over the last decade decides he wants out just like Al Horford. But I don't think you want him to stay simply based out of fear. Let him go. There's a logjam at that position. He's always going to end up hurt, I think. And he's never going to be what we thought he was going to be when they first signed him. So go. Go
Jim, it's your three big moves in free agency or in the offseason. Horford came, set culture, something happened. He now won't talk about the Celtics experience in any kind of depth. Kyrie Irving wanted to leave after one season, publicly after a season and a half, according to Kyrie and Danny Ainge. And now you have Gordon Hayward, who is potentially opting out. There's something wrong here when big-time players come to Boston and now they want to leave.
That's the story. That's the story. And who's next, Stu? Who do you got to worry about next?
Jason Tatum.
Tatum.
Absolutely.
At his season-ending press conference, he was a little bit evasive when asked about his future in Boston. And so he's due his Supermax extension. I'd watch the years on that and see if it's 2 instead of 5 or 3 instead of 5 to see how quickly he wants to re-hit the market again.
I don't think Tatum's a flight risk anytime soon, but is he here long-term? He wants to be a career Celtic? I don't know. That's sort of like, to me, that's the story. I think they should move on from Hayward. I think they need to pare down the roster. I think they need to pare down the number of shooters and give Tatum his room. And so I've been in favor of this. You know, Hayward, Smart, Brown, somewhere in there, probably in that order, I think need to be pared off this roster. So I'm in favor of that. But the downside is, and boy, are some green teamers just reluctant to acknowledge this. He doesn't want to be here. His family doesn't want to be here. Penelope, his wife, doesn't want to be here.
Might be one of the reasons.
I mean, and like if Gasper were here, I'd say, see, even the white people don't like it here. Like, so, you know, even the superstar white athletes have no use for Boston, too. Is it a Boston thing? You know, what is it? It can't be a Celtic thing. How could it be a Celtic thing? You could not get a more fawning, accepting fan base and a more fawning, accepting press corps than what we have here in Boston with the Celtics. They never have a bad day. They never get really taken onto the carpet when they lose. It's like lifetime appointments, lifetime jobs for everyone there. So don't tell me it's the fans or the media culture here. So what, you know...
You might think I'm nuts. Would you agree that most professional athletes are very superstitious?
Okay.
I bet he thinks he's cursed in this uniform and the next bad injury is right around the corner, so he just wants a new start somewhere while he's still got good basketball left in him.
Just a bad taste in his mouth because these have been four bad years for him or three bad years for him?
Been a disaster from the beginning. But when you say Celtic thing, you're talking about the uniform and the organization. What about if it's the locker room?
What if it's the locker room? What if it's... Look, you people on social media are insufferable and painful. And you suck. I mean, I
charming misery and bitching and caring too much about sports.
I can't imagine. I'm not on the thing. I mean, but I can't imagine there are worse people on social media than you. And, you know, all these NBA players, all these athletes are filthy on social media.
They're there all the time.
And so maybe they're just sick of you on their freaking phone. Because I live in the analog world. Analog world, I can't, other than the weather, what is wrong with, I mean, it's a great place to play. People care. Celtics fans, again, analog version, not online. Celtics fans aren't vicious. They're forgiving. You could lose in a big home playoff game and they will chant, "Let's go Celtics," as you walk off the floor. That happens to this day. The team pays. But he doesn't want to be here, and I think you need to accept that. You know, I read, NBC Sports Boston, Chris Forsberg, why would Hayward consider opting out? And he gives a bunch of reasons. On the north side of 30, having endured a catastrophic injury at the start of his Boston tenure, Hayward has to at least consider his options. Okay, he's just considering his options. That's why he would opt out. That's reason number one. It gives his camp, his agent, a base of negotiation for a potential extension with Boston. So he's just opting out so he can gauge his market to re-sign with Boston. Okay, that's another reason. Forsberg says there's always a chance that, snake bitten by injuries, Hayward is intrigued by the idea of a fresh start. Okay, he just wants a fresh start.
Like Murray was saying.
Okay, that's three. Number four, once the biggest free agent signing in Celtics history, when they hooked him in 2017, Hayward was slightly upstaged at his own introductory press conference by the surprise deal that signed Kyrie Irving. So he was signed as the guy and never really was the guy.
True.
And now 3 years into his Boston tenure, he's become the so-called fourth option. So, okay, here are the reasons why you'd be considering opting, according to Chris Forsberg. He's the fourth option. He was signed as the biggest free agent in Celtics history, but that lasted only a couple weeks because then they went and got Kyrie. He's snake-bitten by injuries and wants a fresh start. He wants to opt out to improve his negotiation stance with the Celtics to sign here long-term. Chris, anywhere in there, are you going to acknowledge the idea that he doesn't want to be here? He doesn't want to be here. I feel like Celtics fans were so late in acknowledging, despite all the signs, that Kyrie Irving did not want to be here. And he was an a-hole and got it. But, oh my God, yeah, how many signs did Kyrie Irving have to give you that he didn't want to be here and wasn't going to be here for you to, and still all the way up to free agency, Celtics said, nah, he's coming back. No one could accept it that he doesn't want to be here. Al Horford didn't want to be here. Gordon Hayward doesn't want to be here. And it's, you know, like, you should start having that conversation. Why don't they want
to
be here?
Well, so this to me is the worrisome part. And the only part I'm interested in Hayward is if it's a sign and trade, I want to know what they're getting back. Okay. So that's aside.
You do want it a sign and trade because if he leaves, that free agent slot or that money slot is gone. You can't replace it.
Correct, because they're over the cap.
You're already over the cap. So you've got to get, if you want to, you know, when he goes, it's not like, oh, great, we have $30 million to spend on someone else. No, it goes away. You have no money to sign anyone. You may have an exception or some of these, you know, other.
But it's $8 million instead of $33
million. Without getting into too many details. All you would get is like a mid-level exception or something like that. The free agent, you don't get that free agent slot back. If it's a sign and trade, you can stay over the cap with whatever you bring back. So you want a sign and trade.
Absolutely. That's a better way to go. But here's the part that worries me as it pertains to Hayward and their team. if all these veteran, and Jimmy touched on this, and so did you, if all these veteran guys come in and then leave, there's something about those young guys. And I was worried about this from the beginning.
Or is there something about the coach?
I don't think that's why Hayward would leave.
Definitely not.
Hayward came here because of Brad Stevens. Now he's leaving because of the young players, young core.
Yeah, I think the issue is that to me this has been apparent from the beginning, or at least, you know, when the whole Kyrie thing started to blow up. These guys think they've arrived. They think they have won. They act like they have multiple rings. They haven't won jack. And if you're a veteran guy in that league, particularly a veteran guy who hasn't won, and you're looking at it saying, no, listen, I've been there. I was at your age, and I thought like you did, and I was wrong. This is how it has to happen, because now I'm older and I understand it better. And I wonder if they all come to the realization that, you know what, these guys don't get it.
Why does Penelope hate it?
I think she wanted Miami. I think it's probably a weather thing. That's just a guess.
Okay, well, they just bought a home in Indiana, and she's back in Indiana. All the kids are back in school in Indiana. That ain't exactly the Riviera.
They're both hayseeds.
But at least you have family there.
Okay.
Right. So if you're going to leave family, you might as well go somewhere warm. I don't know. And like, the other thing is, let's face it, it's a little nuts here.
Well, this is what I'm saying. But it's not nuts in an analog fashion. The writers aren't bad. The radio guys aren't. It's a very soft landing here, analog.
The radio guys, people would disagree with you on.
Us. Who else?
Okay, but that's us.
Jones. You know, like, there's a few smatterings of it. For the most part, Danny's got a lot of friends and a lot of really nice coverage here in town and nationally. And so does the Celtics and so do the players. Ooh, they get the benefit of the doubt like no team I've ever seen. So online, you probably suck because you all suck online. So if Penelope is online and has to deal with the likes of you, I can get why she doesn't like
you. Yeah, remember the whole, what was the pregnancy thing that she like barked back at people?
Yes.
During, you know, when he was in the bubble, people were telling her to get induce the labor. Come on, people.
I'll tell you, I go back to the locker room though, because I think that when you play pro sports, even if you have big time college sports, by that stage, you're used to a little bit of the scrutiny and the bull crap. To me, I worry more about the locker room.
Okay, so the Hayward thing.
No young team ever wins in the NBA. They might get close, but they never win, and they weren't willing to sacrifice. And that's what I think my developing opinion is.
Hurry
the
up
young
and
players.
Hurry up and have the baby. We need your husband.
So the whole Hayward thing.
Then he shows up and they rip him.
They do need to pair some bodies, and I think he's a reasonable place to start. And like on that part of it, like that works out for you. It better be a sign and trade versus just losing him. Otherwise, you don't get that money back. You don't get that slot back. So you might as well get something back that's going to fit your team. Like, that's one piece to it. But then you just got to consider this whole second thing. The only reason to do it is because he doesn't want to be here. Doesn't want to be here. And does that concern you?
Yes.
And does it concern you about the next guy that you really care about?
Yes.
The next guy you really care about is Jason Tatum. And I would keep an eye on that. His advisor is Kyrie Irving. And now you've just seen three big names if Hayward follows these guys out the door. Out the door. What does that mean for Tatum and his long-term, you know, future here in Boston? That's what I would be considering. Okay, so there's your Hayward topic. Mix up other phone calls with that and our Patriots stuff right after this.
Tugger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a lot of different ways we can look at it here. If Mark Bartlestein can find a home for Gordon Hayward where he can get a four-year, $100 million contract, and he is taking $8 million less this year, knowing that he's got $75 million guaranteed in years 2 to 4,
and by the way, $8 million less this year is not going to be really $8 million because of how much player salary is going to be shoved away from them into escrow anyway.
That's right. That is something that is going to be realistic here. So now you're thinking like, well, who are those teams? Now we know the teams are cap space, and it's Atlanta, Charlotte, Detroit, New York. I think Atlanta is a wild card in this whole offseason here as far as adding guys, veteran guys, trying to kind of accelerate the rebuild a little bit now. And how does Gordon Hayward fit in there at a $24, $25 million number?
And Zach Lowe and Bobby Marks, former front office guy with the Mets, right? Curious to see where Gordon Hayward ends up. You know, again, just talking about this, the players that don't want to be here, that angle. Kyrie Irving, you can explain away because the guy's an asshat. And he got to pair with Durant and go back home. And so, like, you can write that one off. That's fine. Al Horford chose Philly over you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And Jimmy's right to point out you never really got a real explanation as to why.
A bozo team with a bozo coach and bozo roster. He chose that over the Celtics. So why? And if Gordon Hayward ends up in Atlanta or something like this, or the Knick. I mean, watch to see where he goes.
Oh, Atlanta would be an insult.
Holy jeez.
Yeah, really, as you rattle off those teams, they're all bad. Like, on that list, because there's a handful of teams that do have cap space. And, you know, like, let's say he picked Phoenix. Okay, Phoenix has some cap space. That one I half get. I look at Phoenix and I say, okay, you know, they get some good young talent. They played well in the bubble. Like, maybe that's a team that's turning the corner, warm weather. I mean, you know, again, not my kind of place, but at least you'd say, okay, he could go there and maybe, you know, be that second or third guy, right, depending on what Ayton becomes. Miami's not going to do it because they're holding out for Giannis. But if he picks Atlanta, the Knicks, Detroit, Charlotte.
Horford chose Philly. So just keep an eye on this. And in the back of your mind, you just better hope that whatever crawls into these guys' heads isn't crawling into Jason Tatum's. All right, to your phones on this and everything else. Jim and Dedham. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I just wanted to finally agree with Mavs on this one. I get most of my news about the Celtics through the radio station and stuff, but even when Irvin was on there, you know, when he got injured, the whole team thought they were the superstars, and that's got to be bad for the locker room. You know, he's hanging around. Every one of them thinks they're a star. And they've done nothing. They get to the playoffs, and then that's it.
I mean, it's a good point, Jim and Maz. I mean, Maz says these guys, meaning Horford, Irving, maybe Hayward, look at these kids and say they don't get it. They think they've won everything, but they don't get it. Get me out of here.
Yeah, it's one thing, you know, look, Kyrie was a pain in the ass. Everyone knows that. Okay, so, but even so, Horford still won it out. That's the one that should bother you. You're right to focus on that. And Horford's the kind of guy that's going to look at it and go, oh, Kyrie's gone. It's solved. Or say, yeah, he wasn't the only problem. I mean, Brown and Smart act like they get all the answers too. Tatum, I think, is a little different because he has the talent. Like that, Brown's the one that worries me. And I respect his personality, but he's got an answer for everything. He's the kind of guy that won't accept the status quo, which is great unless you're on a team. When you're on a team, you have to sort of respect the space of other people and what's there before you. And I'm not sure he does.
Duran's in Boston. Hi, Duran. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think it's a couple of things. Like, obviously, we can't speak really for, you know, what happens in the locker rooms individually. And, like, I agree with you all thinking that. Something obviously took a turn with the Celtics locker room over these last few years. But just in general, like, kind of tying this into the bets conversation that we were having last week, I don't think you guys give yourselves enough credit. Like, you guys are, like, a well-renowned station, number one across the country and beamed everywhere. That, like, you guys, you all totally understand that you have a show to do and you do your thing, you do it well. But there are folks in this city that, like you've mentioned, are uber passionate about the sports and all that kind of stuff that will take the things that you say that are, you know, constructive to a degree and then turn them up to the 1,000th degree and then jump on Twitter and, you know, do their thing. Then, like, same fuck, you don't know about it because you don't really – you know, engage in it because it's analog, but
no. I mean, Duran, I get it. This is still a challenging market. Even the analogs are challenging. So it's a little different than maybe what they get in Indiana or whatever. But I mean, then don't look at the players and say, that's it. It's talk radio like that. That's what does you in?
No, I get what you're saying where it's talk radio. Like, I can listen to you guys and be fine. There are people that athletes I'm sure listen to you weren't just fine. But, you know, when they're out at the South Shore Plaza or they're Providence Mall or whatever, and they have that idiot that takes what you all say from talk radio and turns it up to 10,000. It's like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I can listen to Felger and Matt talk about David Price. Like, Price can deal with it. But, like, Joe Schmo, who's just happened to be at the mall.
Okay, John, I mean, I get it. I don't think it's the Schmo at the mall. I think it's the guy that retweets them and gets in their mentions or whatever, because everyone can, no one can put their phone down and just turn the thing off.
I still don't think that's it. I mean, look, it's a hard place to play if you lose and you don't meet expectations. It is. Always has been. I mean, so that's fine. I think, though, the frustration comes from the internal stuff. The real frustration and the real problems. If they were a team that met expectations and played well and gelled and everything was working right, they wouldn't care about the other crap.
So I
think one leads to the other.
I agree with you on this. I think Betts was an external thing, meaning Boston, right? The culture, the climate, something here in the water, in town. It wasn't the team or the organization or things like that. These basketball players, Hayward, Horford, Irving, it's something inside the building.
I worry about the gap between the young guys and the old guys. I think that's a real thing in that league. Because, again, the young guys are all used to being number one recruits in college, going to play at these great programs, dominating at every level they've ever been in. Then they get to the NBA, and they're 8 years behind the best players in the league, and they get their asses kicked, and they can't understand why. But they go in thinking they have all the answers, and they don't. I mean, again, look at what's happened to the Celtics. When they've got the fact that they went up against Miami this year and got pantsed. Jimmy Butler's good. He's not LeBron or Kawhi or even Giannis. He's not any one of those guys. Last year, they played Giannis and got pantsed. So it's like they get into the real games against the really good players, and they get pantsed. And I feel like the veteran guys look at the young guys and go, and see, you don't get it. You don't get it. So, you're not there yet.
And what tells me, again, take a hard look at yourself. I'm putting Kyrie on the list because he's on the list. But again, he went to play with Durant in his hometown.
Sure.
That doesn't have to be your fault. And if Gordon Hayward leaves you and goes and plays for the Lakers, again, I've said this before.
Kyrie got a better deal.
Yeah, right. But if Hayward leaves for a destination, again, that's not your fault. I know you finally may have to accept it, that the Lakers are going to get the good players. So, like, I'm not going to blame you if someone leaves you for the Lakers. Someone leaving you for the Sixers, like Horford did, someone leaving you for, if he goes to the Hawks or something like that, oh, then you got to take a hard look at yourself.
No question. And look, when I say Kyrie get a better deal, I mean package. He got Durant and he got Horford.
Yeah, like that. You
right.
Can't explain away.
Absolutely.
You can't explain away Horford and the Philadelphia 76ers.
No,
I'm sorry.
I worry about that gap between young guys who get success too early and think they have the answers in that league, and the veteran guys looking at him going, you don't have a clue, dude. You don't have a clue. You really don't. And Kyrie wasn't smart enough, you know, because he's not quite that veteran guy yet. Kyrie wasn't smart enough to be able to figure that out and manage it. He's a horrible leader. But Horford? Horford's like as good a pro as you're ever going to find.
Big Jim Murray with his update, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mass, who do you think has the worst quarterback situation in the league?
Patriots.
Worse than Jacksonville?
Yep, I'd rather have Gardner Minshew. I think he's better than anything they got here.
I'm with Mass. Yeah, I think Minshew has something there.
I'm not kidding. Patriots have the worst quarterback situation in the league, which is stunning. Stunning given where they were just 2 years ago.
How about a place like, well, Indianapolis has Brissett.
Chicago's got a bad one, too.
How about a place that's stuck with a bad quarterback and know what, like the Jets, but they might get the first overall pick and have the quarterback. The Giants, you know, guy that's not the guy. They're not going to get the number one pick, probably not.
Like, but they could be top three, and then they're, you know, Daniel, the Jones kid from, not Jones, the quarterback from Ohio State.
Field,
thank you, Justin Fields.
Who is the worst quarterback situation in the NFL?
I think it's the Patriots. And I'll tell you why. I mean, the reason why I lean there is because even the Giants, you'd say Daniel Jones sucks. Maybe not. I mean, it needs a little more time. I think there's some accuracy there. I think that, you know, the turnovers is a turnover machine.
The Washington football team.
Oh, that's bad.
Too. Washington's a bad one. Oof. But I'd rather have Alex Smith than anything on this roster.
I would, too.
So Washington's a bad one. And even, like, so the Jets and the Giants, you could say they got, at least they have young guys who were drafted within the last 2 or 3 years, or 3 years. Okay? So fine. And they're both going to get high picks. And then some of the teams that are going to be up in that draft lottery already have quarterbacks. So you say they're not going to take another one. So New England is porked. Worst, capital P porked.
Arguably the worst quarterback situation in the league. I think it's almost inarguable that they've gotten the worst quarterback play in the league.
They have, other than, I told you, they're tied for last in the league in passer rating with the Jets.
Okay, so they've gotten the worst quarterback play in the NFL.
And you have Bill Belichick as a coach. They have Adam Gase.
And it feels like it's getting worse. It feels like it's getting worse by the day. It feels like Newton's getting worse. It feels like Stidham's getting worse, if that's possible.
Yep.
Because he's seen the field so little.
Every time he sees a field, he's worse. And he sucked to begin with. It's unbelievable. And so here's something we want to do. I wanted to go back because it was just now 3 weeks ago. it was just about 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, if you want to be fair, where people were lauding the Patriots and the brilliance of Bill Belichick striking again on Cam Newton for that salary when the rest of the league passed on him. And this was after a loss. The Patriots hype train after that Seattle game and the Cam Newton hype train, it was 4 weeks ago, just 4 weeks ago, when people were telling you the Patriots were better off with Cam Newton than Tom Brady. Now, here's something I'm not going to do. I'm not going to pull up the local clips because that's something you would do to me, and I'm better than that. So I'm not going to pick on the local guys because I could do it. Because I went through some of it today. The guys that wanted to give Cam Newton the extension after 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh, please.
Okay. And, oh, by the way, I'm guilty of some of this stuff myself, so maybe that's why I don't want to do it.
I'm sure I am, too.
Right? That Bill can coach up a guy, and Newton might be a better fit, and so, like, I'm on the list, too. All right, so let's just keep it to the national people that we don't have to face and we don't care about. Let's just mock them.
I will say, though, I was never on board for the extension.
Never, me neither.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
And way too early.
Oh, by the way, when the hype train began, I dumped all over it, which is why we have all this sound in the first place, because I remember dumping on it from September 22nd, the Tuesday after the Seattle loss, where Newton looked great, and they just about pulled that out, and everyone was on their knees for Bill Belichick and Cam Newton and this thing, and we mocked it then. And it's not a month later, it's not 4 games later, where it has all blown up in turn. But listen to what was being said after that Seattle game. Yeah, boy, the season's not even half old. Jimmy, let's start with some of the get-up stuff. How about number one, Marcus Spears? Okay, it was like a consensus that the Patriots were better off with Cam Newton than Tom Brady. Get-up number one, go ahead.
The Patriots are better without Tom Brady. But as he said it, I was glad he did. Swagoo, is that the case? Are the Patriots better without Tom Brady?
Yeah, they're better offensively. If anybody's watching, they understand why. Look, we talked about the personnel. It didn't get any better other than Cam Newton. N'Keal Harry is playing better. Julian Edelman obviously still doing his thing. But you look at Cam and the versatility he gives the offense. It's about what can you do, G. We're looking at all of these quarterbacks, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. We're looking at even Derek Carr last night. We're looking at these young guys create things in offenses that are not the normal standard drop back, stand in the pocket and throw the ball. Yes, your personnel gets better. You buy more time for them to get open. We talked about the lack of separation from the New England Patriots last year. You know what happens now? Cam gets rushed. They can't separate. Cam moves around. Somebody finds an open area. He's playing great, man. This is Cam damn Newton we talking about. He has been making people around him better while he's been in the league for his entire career.
Worst quarterback in the league, just about. making he suddenly turned N'Keal Harry into a player.
Oh, yeah,
Julian Edelman doing his thing.
What a turnaround for Harry.
People lost their minds after that Seattle game, a game that they lost.
Oh, they lost their minds. Give me number two. This is Greg McElroy.
So we talk about that new throwing motion. We talk about that arm strength. And I'm telling you, Greeny, Spears, and Jeff, I'd be curious if y'all agree with this. I think his second half against Seattle was the best I've seen Cam play since his MVP season in 2015. He was comfortable, he was decisive, he was accurate, and the velocity on his throws was as good as it's been in a while.
Comfortable, decisive, accurate? Mm. Who's he talking about?
Cam Newton.
This was just four games ago.
Yeah, well, in that game, though, he did look that way.
No, he did! What the hell happened? What the hell happened?
He's third from the bottom in the league. The only two guys that have been worse in passer rating are Sam Darnold and Drew Lock.
Oh, my God. The gushing. It was unbelievable. Even our guy Colin Coward. Give me Coward number three. Going on and on about Newton's mechanics. Newton, the last couple of games, might have the worst mechanics I've ever seen from a quarterback, you know, like since the Tim Tebow days, the way he's been throwing the football. But nope, not on September 22nd or right around there. Go ahead. Give me Coward three.
And I'll tell you the thing that jumped out to me, his mechanics have always been kind of hot and cold. I think his mechanics now are excellent. And I've always been a critic of Cam Newton. But if that's the Cam I get, I'm good. You can win that. You Belichick, that defense, and that Cam, they are basically a vertical dimension away from being a handful. Maybe they get it in the draft. Maybe they get it in free agency. Maybe they go ahead and get OBJ. But what I'm watching right there looks like Cam has put his arms around the system. The system, Bill Belichick's put his arms around Cam. What a pleasure to watch. That's football.
Now the mechanics suck. The defense sucks. Belichick sucks. Put your hand around this.
Four games ago, everyone was all in on this thing. It's not four games later, and it's the worst quarterback play in the league, and it's about to be a lost season. I don't know if I've seen something turn that quickly.
No, this is unusual. I mean, for it to happen that fast, really, is. I'll admit, I'm even surprised it got this bad this fast. I am. It's brutal. What has happened the last 2 weeks is brutal. If you go back and watch a Seattle game, you see this isn't the same guy. Like, it's stunning.
Or maybe we just overreacted.
Maybe a little.
Yes. On the upside.
I don't know. We don't usually do that.
Okay. Our least favorite comment. I'll play our least favorite commentary of the Cam Newton
thing. I know which one that is.
I'm going to play this for you coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
But here's what happened. Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, they've never had a guy like this. They've never had Superman. So you know what they did? They played the damsel in distress and said, come save me, and they gave the ball to Cam, and I have no issue with that. The New England Patriots are going to be all right because Superman has returned.
Oh, that wasn't my least favorite comment. That was actually funny. But, oh, my God, the hype. The hype. Go back and read and listen to what was being said that week in September after the Seattle game. Ay vey. But it even predates it. It even predates it. That was some obnoxious commentary. How about this one? And this one isn't our least favorite either. I'll get to that in 1 second. Give me Mike Tannenbaum.
That's a good one, too.
Mike Tannenbaum from September 7th. Guess what he said was going to happen with Cam Newton. Go ahead.
Mark my words, in 2 to 3 weeks, the early storyline that we'll be talking about is, when is Cam Newton getting that extension? Cam Newton, comeback player of the year. Mm. Can they keep up with Baltimore and Kansas City in the AFC? So if, and it's a big if Cam Newton stays healthy, I love this match. And more importantly, moving forward, I think he could be the Patriot quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Oh, wow. He hadn't even played a game at that point.
No, I think he could be the Patriot quarterback the next 3, 4, 5 years.
It was so premature, and I said it at the time, too. I know it was apples to oranges, but it would have been like, you know, the Red Sox giving Chris Sale that stupid extension. You imagine if they actually did that at the time, what would be saying right now?
Oh, the Red Sox would have done it.
No, I know, because they're
idiots. No, I'm joking. Like, look, this
No, they did give Chris Sale the extension.
No, they would have given it to Newton, is what I'm saying, if they had Newton.
I see.
Yeah, this is why Mike Tannenbaum is now on this side of the discussion. Seriously. I mean, that was asinine.
Moving forward, I think he could be the Patriot quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
But Mike, I'm not sure he's going to be the quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Seriously. I mean, stunning. Like, it's one thing, you know, and for a former executive in the league to say that, seriously, I mean, that's just dumb. That's just dumb. Knowing the history of Newton's injuries and everything else after 2 games, you're going to say, lock him up? No way. Oh, that was just foolish.
Moving forward, I think he could be the Patriot quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Ay, ay, ay. And worst quarterback play in the league. But this one takes the cake. This was before they even signed Cam Newton, so it's not Cam Newton commentary per se.
Well, it is. But go ahead.
Well, no, what it is Patriots ball washery 101. Okay? Patriot ball washing 101. It's from our buddy Adam Schefter. This is from June 23rd. This was a week or 5 days, anyway, before they even signed Cam Newton. But how smart and deft the Patriots are at the quarterback position. Go ahead, Jimmy, please roll it.
What they've said to you so far is this. We believe in Jarrett Stidham. And you heard David bring up Matt Cassel. I would also bring up Jimmy Garoppolo in the year where Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games and the Patriots went 4-0 without Tom Brady that year. And so they are used to this sort of thing. And I think they relish that sort of challenge, the fact that Tom won't be there. It will be a different offense. It will be a different atmosphere. It will be a complete different feeling with one guy who's been so important to that franchise for 20 years. It's a whole new chapter. I think that they love this. I think that there's a part of them that looks forward to this. And, yeah, they're not tanking. And, yeah, I think they have big expectations for Jarrett Stidham. And we'll see whether or not they're valid, right? At a time where, again, I keep coming back to the economics and the business of sport, where after this year, the cap may be flat or potentially go down due to the pandemic. Look at the Patriots sitting there paying a rookie quarterback in Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, a veteran, on a veteran minimum type of contract. They've got no money invested, basically, in the quarterback position, and they'll have flexibility after this year if it doesn't go well to do what they want at that point in time. But for now, they get to ride with Stidham, who I think they believe in.
Scary.
I mean, stunning. And I'm telling you, there was even another one where he said point blank, they have $2.7 million invested in the quarterback position or whatever it was. And it's like, well, great. Great. Congratulations.
Wanting the Patriots for having the worst quarterback room in the league? And for having no quarterbacks is basically what he was doing?
Their cap dollars, according to this website, invested a quarterback are $2.72 million.
Including Newton now.
Right. $2.72. The Jags are the only team lower at $2.714. Okay, that is a $6,000 difference. The point is,
are people getting on their knees for how the Jaguars have managed their quarterback situation?
No, it's asinine. And so I look at this one and say, why would it, and let's just go back to the Schefter comment. Why would you celebrate that unless your quarterback play was great, which there was no way of knowing at that particular point in time? Why would you celebrate the idea that you're not paying any money to quarterback? Why would you even celebrate the fact that you have financial flexibility? You can celebrate that if you have a quarterback. If you don't, what is there to celebrate?
You have no quarterback. Boy, did they nail that one. Look at everyone else is stupid who've spent money at quarterback. They're going to be screwed next year because they've spent money at quarterback. The Patriots have no quarterback. Brilliant. So, look, again, I bought into some of this stuff. I buy into some of this stuff. I still do. I'm not, you know, willing to give up on it. But that whole, like, just the whole storyline, you know, they relish this. They only have Stidham. They only have Hoyer. But, hey, they won with Cassel. They won with Garoppolo. They relish this. They love this. And look at the flexibility they have when everyone else is stupid and spent them. How long have I been hearing from the Patriots how everyone else is stupid for spending money? That's one that really gets my, you know, oh, everyone else is stupid for paying for good players.
I mean, let's just compare. Seattle Seahawks have the second most cap dollars committed to quarterback. Would you rather be them or you?
I don't even know who the backup is. I'd rather be them.
Who cares?
Is it Geno Smith?
It is Geno Smith, yeah.
It could be you. I don't care. Who gives a rat's ass? That guy plays every week anyway.
I might be as good as Geno Smith, frankly.
And cheaper.
I would. I'll do it for half the cost.
So fine. You want to save me money on the backup? Save me money on the backup. So the Seattle Seahawks are stupid because they're paying $32 million cap dollars?
Is anyone sitting there saying how brilliant the Jaguars are for having no quarterback?
It's idiotic. It is so idiotic. When Schefter said that, I wanted to throw crap at my TV. I remember sitting there at my desk going, what? 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 Are you on crack?
So the money thing I never bought into, I never give the Patriots or any NFL team a break for saying, look at how smart we are because we're not spending any money. I can't stand that rationale. So I never gave them that. But the whole thing about they won with Castle, they won with Garoppolo, I bought into that. I buy into it. I do. I do. And so that's still at stake. It doesn't look good at all right now. And I bought into the Stidhamite. Well, I thought, you know, hell, especially then, you know, we got into late June and they still hadn't done anything. You know, and all that glowing reporting I thought was coming from the heart, coming from, you know, inside the building. They think Stidham's the next Castle or Garoppolo. And I bought into that. They can win with, they won with those guys. They can win with the next guy. Maybe not championships, but win the division, you know, and still win and still be the Patriots. I bought into that. I buy into it. But they got to get just, at, you know, Castle and Garoppolo even. I mean, Garoppolo, I think, was above average. But Castle was just average, but they won with average. And a good surrounding cast and good coaching. I thought they could do it again.
Yeah, but see, again, but that's a different argument. That's a different argument. That is the coaching good enough to elevate a mid to lower level quarterback and turn you into a good team? Sure. Yes, absolutely. But the idea that, like, somehow it's good to spend cheaply at the position, that's only true if you have a guy who can play. So you want to tell me that the Kansas City benefited greatly under the rookie contract with Patrick Mahomes? Fine. But now that the number's going up, would they be dumb to pay Mahomes?
I'm telling you, to say, you know, like, look at what a great position the Patriots are in. They have all this flexibility. Okay, let's just give them that they do have this flexibility. But what's the next quarterback?
Exactly.
So wait, all of a sudden they're going to turn around and pay someone $30 million a year? The whole reason Brady's in Tampa is because they don't want that model. They don't want to pay a quarterback that. But oh, by the way, who's going to be available? They're not going to be bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence. I just want to disabuse you. All of that notion, you're not catching the Jets or the Jags or these zero or one win teams. You're not catching them. So you're not getting Trevor Lawrence. Get that out of your head. So is there another college quarterback you're going to draft at 22 years old and that's your answer? And we sit around and waiting 2-3 years for him to develop? I hate that model. So who's the big fancy free agent? They were all available last offseason. Who's available this year?
I think Winston's, it was only a 1-year deal with New Orleans. So you might have another kick at the can with Winston.
Hold on. So now we're calling the Patriots brilliant because they've saved their money for Jameis effing Winston?
I didn't say it's a good plan, but it's semblance of a plan.
At the quarterback position, you need to start coming to this reality. They may be porked.
Big time. Yeah, big time. This is the scary part of it. So, again, you want to tell me it's Winston.
You better hope Garoppolo comes back here, Murray. You better hope, because if the alternative is Jameis Winston.
I'll tell you, I'm starting to think what Murray said yesterday would have been the best play. Teddy Bridgewater.
Gone, signed.
No, I know. But like you say, $25 million for Teddy Bridgewater, I would say.
That's a good deal.
Patrick Mahomes is getting 40 now.
Little pricey, but at least you have a quarterback. At least you have a season.
I mean, so what good is the saving money if you don't have a quarterback? I don't get it.
The people who laud, and I don't want to write Schefter's, you know, the best in the business, but the people who laud the Patriots for not spending money are just in the tank. They just are. I'm sorry. Like, that's just that's the only person that would give them credit for not spending, because otherwise, what do you care what they spend?
Yeah, Felga, I wouldn't spend $1.6 million on that house, so I didn't buy it. I was smart. Oh, really? Yeah. Where are you living?
In my car. Bridge. Yeah, underneath the bridge. No, but you have tremendous flexibility.
Yeah, I'm living in a cardboard box under that tree over there.
So anyway,
I didn't buy that house.
I thought it was good to relive some of that commentary.
Moving forward, I think he could be the future quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Meanwhile, Tannenbaum wants to give him 5 years, $120
million. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so your call's on everything, I promise. 90 seconds, no commercials, and right to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.